Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It was fascinating because she talks about this tension that is built between you are with me, you're my partner. I don't have you here forever. What is this dance?
That dynamic plays out in relationships too. And if it doesn't remain in some form in a long-term relationship, then that relationship begins to suffer. Mm-hmm. Proust said, "The journey of discovery lies not in seeking new landscapes, but in seeing with new eyes."
Hola amigos de Infinitos, yo soy Marta Gareda y en esta ocasión tengo un episodio que está buenísimo. Si quieres saber cómo puedes atraer a la persona que te gusta y qué tips y trucos puedes usar para que te persigan a ti en vez de que tú los persigas a ellos o a ellas, quédate porque tenemos a una persona que es experta justamente en estos temas. Él es Matthew Hussey. Y Matthew Hussey es, además de ser amigo mío, es un coach de vida británico experto justamente en cómo ligar. Es una personalidad de televisión, ha hecho muchas cosas, es escritor que ha vendido muchos libros y además es una estrella de redes sociales. Matthew Hussey is a British life coach, dating expert, television personality, best-selling writer and social media star. Y si se preguntan por qué hablo en inglés, es porque esta entrevista está en inglés, pero no se preocupen, va a estar subtitulada. Pero bueno, para hacer este intro, les platico en inglés y en español las dos cosas y nos vamos a ir a conocer a Matthew. Es mejor conocido como su papel como el matchmaker en la serie de competencia de citas del show de realidad que se llama NBC Ready for Love. NBC es NBC, se llama Ready for Love. Y por ser el experto en amor residente en el Today Show. He is best known for his role as a matchmaker on the NBC reality dating competition series Ready for Love and for being the resident love expert on the Tonight Show. Sin nada más y nada menos, les voy a presentar y dejar con ustedes a Matthew Hussey y esta increíble entrevista que hicimos. Okay, so we're gonna see and check out this amazing conversation I had with the one and only Matthew Hussey.
Despierta. Imagina, expande tu conciencia. Vive a tu máximo potencial. Siente Infinitos.
Matt.
Hello.
I'm so happy to be here with you. We are very good friends. He's one of the closest friends to my partner, Louis. And I'm really happy because my audience is very excited that you are here with us and that I can ask you all the questions that kind of like take a little peek into a man's mind, you know, which is, you know, kind of like that movie, like What Do Women Think, but the opposite way.
What men think.
And I think it's important because I can say from a personal level in the past, family members, friends, a lot of women out there that are looking for a relationship, that are yearning for this loving, conscious, beautiful person in their lives where they can grow with. And so I wanted to ask you, it's so funny because when I met Louis, he told me, you know, you drop this hanky. And I was like, what are you talking about that I dropped a hanky? A lot of women don't, they like somebody and they don't dare to go ahead and talk to the guy. And especially in Latin America, we've been educated to kind of like have the guy come to you. I know you're an expert in this and we'll talk more deeply about other things, but what is this drop the hanky thing? I know what it is now, obviously, but I want my audience to know about that because I think it's very important, especially if you're single and you like somebody, but you don't know what's the right approach to this person.
Well, you've made me wonder now what Lewis meant when he said you dropped the hanky. But I've been coaching people now in mm-hmm. their love lives, mm-hmm. mostly women, yeah. for 15 years yeah. of my life. It's been my entire adult life.
Yeah.
And when I started out, I suppose I wondered, well, what can I offer women? There's so many magazines out there for women. There's so many books. Mm-hmm. There's so many different ways that they can learn about these things. What can I offer that's different? And I started to read things that were already out there for women.
Okay.
And I remember reading a specific moment in the book, The Rules, that...
I know that book.
And the truth is, yeah. I don't actually remember, you know, maybe I'd read it and there would be a whole bunch of things I would like in it today. I haven't read it in a very long time, but yeah. I remember there being just one moment that stood out to me where I didn't feel, I certainly didn't feel like it was describing me as a man.
Okay.
Because it said, if a man doesn't come up to you, he's not interested.
Hmm.
You know, don't bother wasting your time because if he was interested, he'd already be talking to you.
Is that true?
I had spent my whole life avoiding the very women I was most interested in.
You, why?
Because that's the... you know, if I was, as a teenager, if I saw a 90-year-old woman trying to cross the street with a bunch of shopping bags, I would run over to help her.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Yeah.
If I saw someone of my own age who I thought was really pretty,
uh-huh.
I didn't know how to talk to that person.
That's funny.
So I would avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. if I was accused, therefore, of not liking this person, because I wasn't standing there talking to them already, it would mean discounting all of my fear, all of my anxiety, all of my worries about being rejected, mm. which is all of the reasons why men don't just race over to the woman that they want to talk to. Some men do, but it's not nearly as many as women think.
Mm.
There's a group of guys who are always going over to women.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them will be nice enough guys and some of them will be not so nice, but mm-hmm. it's not all guys. And I started realizing, oh, a way that I can help women is first to help them understand that there are some really incredible men
mm.
in the room, whatever mm. room that is, whether it's a coffee shop, whether it's a library, whether it's a bookshop, whether it's a gym, there are incredible men there that aren't in the habit of running up to every woman that mm-hmm. they find attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you only rely on being approached, then you are subjecting yourself to a lifetime of meeting the loudest men in the room.
Yeah.
And you're missing out on lots of amazing people who for a whole number of reasons didn't decide to come over to you in that moment,
mm-hmm.
which might have been politeness, by the way. It might have been just, I don't know if she wants to be approached in this environment.
Mm.
I don't know if I'm going to come across as creepy
yeah.
or yeah. too much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make her uncomfortable. She's with her friends. I don't want to interrupt their conversation. There's all these different reasons why people don't meet.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's assumed that it's just the guy's job to make that happen.
Yeah.
So what I started saying is if women had more choice, they would make better decisions about who to be with. Because I knew a lot of women who were frustrated and hurt because they were dealing with men who treated them badly or who, you know, weren't great guys to be with. And I'd be like, why are they settling for these guys? And my theory at the time, and I was only half right, like we can talk about where I was wrong. But my theory at the time was, if I can give women a way to make the move and create choice, then they will all of a sudden start choosing better quality people because they won't be coming from a place of scarcity. And that means they have to start choosing the men that they want instead of just waiting to be chosen. So how do you make that move? And women would say to me, well, I'm old fashioned. I don't make the move. And I say, then you've forgotten what old fashioned looks like, because old fashioned might have been a woman 100 years ago walking past a guy, seeing that she found him attractive, and then inadvertently dropping her handkerchief.
That's right.
And he'd see it and he'd pick it up and think, what a wonderful opportunity to be a man. And he'd take it over to her and say, madam, you dropped this.
And then the conversation would start.
And he would think that conversation was his idea.
Why? Why would he think that?
Because he didn't know she dropped the handkerchief on purpose. He just, he just the handkerchief dropped, and he was doing her a favor in that moment by returning it to her. So that started a conversation where she chose him, but he was still allowed to think it was his idea. Now, in the modern day, we can drop the handkerchief in a number of ways. Right. And more women are dropping the handkerchief than ever, especially on dating apps where they're making the first move.
Brass, panties. It's like, oh, you drop your panties? No, I'm kidding.
No, you're probably partly right. There's a lot more of
openness,
you know,
if you talk about
if you talk about apps and the focus on like hookup culture and whatever, but but in real life, still not nearly enough people are dropping the handkerchief.
They're
doing it more online where it's safe and you're behind a screen. But in real life, lots of people still aren't dropping the handkerchief. In fact, people have gotten worse at it than ever.
Now.
Men and women.
Now.
Yeah, I believe so, because, you know, this thing is eroding our social skills.
Right.
And making it easier when we're in an environment where we may have met someone, we're not meeting them because we're looking down at our phone. And so we're missing those moments where something could actually happen. And things that happen in real life tend to stick more than things that happen on an app. Because you can message someone on an app and you're one of 20 messages they're getting.
Right.
But if you actually have a moment with someone in real life, you're instantly more memorable than anyone they've interacted with on an app that day. But in order to meet someone in real life, you actually have to be prepared to drop the handkerchief.
The handkerchief. I love this analogy, because also in Latin American countries, what we used to do is on Sundays after mass, we have this beautiful kiosk in the plaza. So women would walk like, you know, opposite to the clock, and men would walk in the opposite direction. And they would just kind of like look at each other and kind of check each other out. And a woman would have either her rosary or a flower. And so you have these flowers, you know, outside of Latino churches and everything, there's a woman that sells the flowers. And so this specific woman would buy these flowers, bunch of women would have these flowers, and they would drop a flower.
Wow.
You know, they would see the guy that they like and they would drop the flower. And so then in the next round, that guy, you know, because they're going around this kiosk, he would pick up this flower and would come to her and say, hey, you dropped your flower.
But he knew it was for him?
Yeah, of course.
Because he saw her looking at him.
Yes.
And then she dropped the flower.
And then
and
she
on
dropped
the next,
flower.
On his next go around, he would pick it up.
He would pick it up.
What happens if the wrong guy picks up the flower? Does
that
happen?
She would just say thank you and continue to move and drop it again until the guy that she was looking at would, you know, like. But you would have to make eye contact with the guy and drop the flower while you're making eye contact. And then wait one round. And then the guy will come with the flower, you know, to you and say, hey, you dropped your flower. And that would start a conversation.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's very romantic.
So that's very much in line with what we're talking about.
Yeah, it is. And so for me with Louis, it was just like, he says, I dropped the hanky because I followed him on Instagram.
The modern day handkerchief drop.
I know, but he doesn't know. I followed him because, you know, I saw one of his interviews with Dr. Joe Dispenza And I thought, oh, this guy has really amazing contact. And that's it. I followed him. But what I consider when I really, really dropped the hanky was when he DM'd me and I didn't see his DMs. Like he had sent me, you know, several DMs. And then one day I opened the DMs and I saw it. And then I wrote to him, hey, my friend, are you ever in my country? And so he happened to be in Mexico. Mm. When I was in Mexico, he was in Playa del Carmen and I was in Tulum. And he says, you know, that's the hanky. Like you were like, hey, are you ever here? Just in case, you know.
He said, you said, hey, are you ever in my country? And he said, let me get back to you tomorrow.
No, he was there. Went,
okay, yeah, no, I'm in your country right now.
Yeah, no, he was like, oh, by the way, what a coincidence. I'm in Playa del Carmen. I'm only 1 hour away. But I mean, it's a version of like, you know, dropping the hanky, which I really love.
But you know, what you're mm-hmm. talking about is so important because you didn't have to send that message, mm-hmm. but you did.
Yeah, I did.
That, I was just talking to a couple the other night at an event we were at.
Yeah.
And he said he sent a message to a woman on an app. No, he sent a message to her. She said, hey, I know I'm on an app, but I'm actually in a bit of a vulnerable state right now. I feel like I'm not in a place where I can talk, but you know, I appreciate you reaching out. And he said, oh, I'm really sorry about that. You know, I've been through some stuff myself. Mm. You know, if you want to connect at any point, I'm open to it. And she said, thank you. I really appreciate it. 1 week later, he sent another message and said, hey, I just wanted to reach out and say again, if you ever want to connect, I feel like maybe I'm reading into it too much, but I feel like actually there might be something here, you know, we could talk. Mm. And they were together. They are now a couple.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, he didn't have to send that second message.
Right.
I'm not saying someone, if you get nothing back from someone, you should persist and persist and persist. But sometimes I feel like we miss out on so much in life because our pride stops us making one move that could make the difference.
Yeah.
Just sending that one message or saying hi or going back and saying, hey, you know, would you like to grab a coffee sometime? We don't make that one extra move. And I think that a lot of dating is finding the balance between our pride on one end of the spectrum.
Okay.
And our proactivity on the other end of the spectrum. Mm. If we have too much pride, then we put up our walls and we never put ourselves out there. Right. We never take a risk and nothing ever happens.
And then at the same time, you're like, oh, why is it that nobody is approaching me?
Exactly.
You have this gigantic wall that says, get out.
And if you have too much proactivity, you end up chasing people who aren't giving you reasons to chase them. You just keep trying and trying and trying and you don't realize that attraction is a dance. It's like salsa, which we were doing recently with Lewis. You know, it's one step forward. Now you take a step back and they take a step forward. Mm. And now you move. You know, it's that constant back and forth. It's not you constantly taking steps forward. Mm. So that's what too much proactivity looks like. What I'm always helping people try to do is find the sweet spot between that pride that protects us but also stops us from taking risks and the proactivity that gets us opportunities but also gets us taken advantage of if we don't qualify it.
You said something a little bit ago about you make, you know, when you drop the hanky, you make it look like it was his idea.
Mm.
Why is that important?
I'm not so sure that it's as important anymore.
Okay.
I think that there was a time where those kinds of social customs were important from a kind of image perspective, a perception perspective. But what hasn't changed is that we all want to feel like we have had a moment to come to our own conclusion about trying with someone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a phrase, I don't know where I heard it, but people love to buy, they hate to be sold.
Oh.
And in dating, it's the same thing. We we want to come to the conclusion that someone is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that we want to continue with them.
That you're choosing them.
That we're making a choice.
Right.
If they're selling to us the whole time, then we never really get to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. You know, a practical thing I say to people is, if you go and talk to someone in a social environment, one of the things that isn't great is if you go to talk to them and then you never leave. And leaving can just mean going to the bathroom. Leaving can mean turning around and having a conversation with your friends, but not leaving the party. It just means you're there, but now you're not asking anything of them. I think of it like you need to close down the space between the two of you so that this person can find out that you exist.
Mm-hmm.
But then you need to recreate the space so that that person can choose you. And when you recreate space, you're giving someone a chance to observe you. Because once you start talking to somebody else, even if it's just one of your friends, that person can now observe you at a distance. They can think about you. They also recognize that you have other things going on, that you're not just now stand, because that's the thing we're all afraid of, isn't it? When someone comes over to us, the first thing we're thinking is not, am I attracted to this person? The first thing we're thinking is this person ever going to leave? And when we realize, they can leave.
Right.
We suddenly are no longer thinking, uh-oh, how do I get out of this? We're starting to ask ourselves,
how do we keep them?
Yeah, who is this person?
Who is this person?
Yeah. Like,
approaching each other with that curiosity. You know, it's interesting because I recently did I was part of this project with Audible, reading this book from Esther Perel in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
And it was fascinating because she talks about this tension that is built between you are with me, you're my partner. It's kind of like what you're talking about, but I don't have you here forever. It's not guaranteed that you will be here forever. You can leave at any moment. And sometimes in partnerships or in long-term relationships, or even at the beginning of dating, this is, I feel like, what you're describing. It's like, makes it sexy to know that the woman has her own life and she can probably leave, but she's choosing to stay with you and you're choosing her. What is this dance, Matt? What do you think it's behind this, you know, what's the secret behind this dance of
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Seduction, but at the same time, safety. How do you balance these two things?
That's a great, great question. And I love that you picked up on the dynamic I'm talking about, which is in play the first time you ever speak to someone by showing that you can talk to them, but you can also go and talk to other people.
Yeah.
That you can move around the room and create space again.
Yeah.
That dynamic plays out in relationships too. And if it doesn't remain in some form in a long-term relationship, then that relationship begins to suffer. Mm-hmm. You know, what Esther Perel describes is the difference between love and desire.
Mm.
And love is the the joining of two people, the connection, the feeling of being one.
Yeah, safety, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. I am you, you are me. We're part of this same experience together, yeah. And we just want to join and experience each other fully and live through each other. And there's a beauty to that. But desire, on the other hand, exists in the space between two people. And it is a flame that needs air to breathe. And if two people close down all of the space between them, there's no more oxygen for that fire, and it gets extinguished. So as Esther Perel puts it very, very eloquently, desire is, there's a longing to it, there's a wanting to claim something, there's a wanting to have something. How do you continue to want that which you already have, which is the great dilemma of a relationship.
It is.
That's the paradox.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that people get frustrated with that when you talk about it, because a lot of people feel like that's suggesting that some kind of game needs to be played within a relationship in order to keep a relationship alive. And people hate that idea. You know, people don't want to play those games. They don't want to feel like, oh, I have to do something to manipulate my partner in a relationship it's not that, but we do have to, you have to take people as they are. I really believe that we can complain all we like about why do I have to do this or why would I, but life is much better when you actually accept human nature and you try to work with it.
Yeah.
Instead of wishing human nature was something different. And human nature is that when something becomes normal to us, when it becomes every day, when we feel like we have it, there is that sense that it no longer is that thing that I feel like there's no mystery to it. There's not that otherness to it that makes me want to close down the space. The great irony is that desire makes us want to take this really sexy person in a party outfit and put them in their pajamas.
so then they can be safe.
Yeah, so that we can know them and understand them and feel like we have them and feel like I know you and you can't hurt me and you've not rejected me. And look, you're safe watching a movie with me in your pajamas. But you keep that person in their pajamas too long and eventually desire starts saying, feel like we need someone who's not in their pajamas.
That's so crazy to think about. This, like, it is a game inside of us, but it's hard. Like, how do you keep that?
Well, I think partly we have to take responsibility ourselves for not for trying to be in relationship, for trying to be content in relationships that don't require us to be chasing a high all the time. I think there's a self-accountability in that, you know, you have to recognize that when you're seeing something on the outside that looks really exciting, that's just a person you didn't get in their pajamas yet. You know what I mean? Like that person will be equally normal to you if you had them. So don't think that they have something special that your partner doesn't. The only thing that may be special about this person that is exciting you on the outside is that there's space. And I think it's really important to recognize that, because that's where we can catch it ourselves before we start making unfair comparisons between the person who has proximity to us and people who are on the outside of our lives who seem attractive just because they're mysterious. You know, when we think about celebrities or people that we think of in life as mysterious and exciting. When we think of those people, that's just because they're mysterious to us. That your favorite celebrity who's really exciting and mysterious to you isn't exciting and mysterious to the person that they hang out with every day.
They see them flossing.
Exactly.
They see them like
exactly. So it's all there's a smoke and mirrors to all of it. And that's really important to recognize if we want to be happy in a relationship instead of taking our relationship for granted. However, I do think we all have to also take responsibility for finding ways to maintain a sense of otherness within our relationship mm-hmm. that allows our partner to still observe us through a mysterious lens of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Proust said, "The journey of discovery lies not in seeking new landscapes, but in seeing with new eyes."
Wow.
And if you think about it, what is an affair? An affair is when someone has a relationship, but they seek new landscapes.
Right. Yeah.
A healthy relationship that has both love and long-term desire is one that through whatever we do to grow and continue to excite each other and continue to remain somewhat mysterious in some small
mm-hmm,
way
mm-hmm.
is one that allows us to continue to see each other with new eyes so that we don't need to change the landscape. And so the question becomes, how do we continue to see each other with new eyes?
For years and years. How do we continue to do that? Especially when, quite frankly, today you see social media, Instagram, TikTok, all these different things. And it's almost like going to a car shop. You're seeing all these models, right?
Yeah.
Different cars and different, you know, shapes and different things. And it looks like is at the touch of a click, you know, of a button, and you can actually start a conversation with anyone.
Yeah.
And so how do you keep the relationship safe knowing that today there could be a man or a woman sleeping next to each other and each one are in their phones and perhaps one of them is texting someone else on Instagram? How do you keep it sacred?
I think there has to be a level of discipline within your relationship where the two of you acknowledge there are you know what's good for your relationship and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all have to individually pay attention to that. There are certain environments that are not productive to be in.
Yeah.
When you're in a relationship, I'm not saying you should deprive yourself of being in certain environments all the time, but if you know something puts you in the wrong headspace, if you know, in the same way that, let's just remove the context of a relationship,
mm-hmm.
if you know that you being on Instagram makes you compare your life to someone else's mm-hmm. a lot and mm-hmm. it makes you unhappy and it makes you forget what's amazing about your life, stop going on Instagram. Like, that's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you know you're susceptible to that, like I, for the most part, I have Instagram deleted from my phone. I re-download Instagram when I need to post something
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't, very, very rarely do I leave Instagram and feel like I can tell you a positive from having just been on mm-hmm. Instagram.
I want to say, because I follow you, your Instagram is so inspirational. And when you see my Instagram, it's like Louis, you, Jay, my friends, you know, like they're so inspiring. Like I'm always saying like, hey, come to this side of Instagram in which we're here to inspire.
That's lovely.
That is beautiful. But
if you can, now, if you can control it that way, I think that's great. That also probably involves staying away from the explore feed.
I don't explore.
Right, because that's where you can go down the rabbit hole
yeah.
and you're no longer controlling it, it's controlling you.
Yeah.
If you're talking about who do I follow and what are the posts that come up for me regularly and that's good stuff,
yeah,
that's a different thing. But in a relationship, if you're constantly in places that are making you compare your partner to other people and you're making unfair comparisons, because you're comparing the reality of the person you're with this very
mystical,
heavily curated mm-hmm. image of somebody else. Your partner, how can they possibly win that battle? Who can win that battle?
Nobody.
It's
unfair, actually.
Santorini can't even win a battle with itself on Instagram. How can Santorini compete with Instagram Santorini?
Yeah. That's funny. It's true.
It can't.
Yeah, no.
Because Instagram Santorini is filtered.
Incredible, yeah.
And you would think going to Santorini, you would think no one was going to be there.
Yeah.
Because there's never anyone in the pictures.
That's true.
There's never crowds.
Yeah.
There's never tourists everywhere taking
pictures. You see all this beautiful blue and rocks and everything, and just one woman.
And
this,
no one's there.
Floating dress.
It's a magical place. Yeah. No one goes there. Yeah. And it's one of the most beautiful photogenic places in the whole world.
Yeah.
Until you get to Santorini.
And there's like a trash can right there in the same spot where this. And then there's a dog pooping.
And the beautiful spot, there's 50 people trying to get a selfie. And
it's so true.
Like that's... So, and that's not, that doesn't mean Santorini isn't beautiful. It means that it can't compete with the version of itself that is portrayed by the people who have put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that, so I think that we have to protect our relationship by also protecting our own minds and saying, what's useful for me to be putting in my mind? Where am I putting my own focus? We can't control our partners. And if your partner is constantly engaging with all of that and it's affecting your relationship, that's an honest conversation you can have with them.
Yeah.
Where you can say, hey, I don't ever want to control you, but I feel like this is having an impact on us. And that's that can be a productive and powerful conversation to have, because someone may not be aware of the extent to which it's having an impact on the relationship. But we can control the way we show up and the way we control, like, the gateway to our own mind. And these things tend not to be good for us for, in terms of overvaluing everything else and undervaluing what we have.
Yeah, I agree with you. What do you think would be the three most attractive things from a guy's perspective that a woman can have? So let's say you just met this woman, and what makes her, is it about looks? Is it about personality? Is it about chemistry? Like, what do you think it is that is a healthy one? Because I know there's other ones, but, and we can talk about them too.
Like, I think every guy is looking for that first kind of initial, am I attracted feeling.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that a guy can't get attracted to someone who he wasn't initially thinking of in that way when he spends a little time with that person.
Yeah.
Because everyone's had that experience.
Yeah, right? It's true. Yeah.
But that, it would be kind of disingenuous to suggest that that isn't the first thing that hits somebody, is that element of, is there physical attraction? Then... But I never want people to feel limited by that, because it's extraordinary the amount of control you have. That feels like the one thing we can't control.
We cannot, right? I mean, unless actually, you do through a bunch of surgeries and whatever, but...
Well, yeah, but firstly, I think everyone can take care of themselves and everyone can do a lot to make the best of what they have.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a lot of people in life who just aren't making the best of what they have.
Mm.
Like, there's a... Everyone can make themselves stand out differently. And it doesn't mean having surgery, but it can mean the way we take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. It can mean the way we dress. It can mean just waking up and taking pride in our appearance. So we might as well do what we can.
Okay.
But outside of that, one of the most engaging things on a date is someone who has a real sense of who they are.
Okay.
Who has a real sense of what they enjoy, what they like in their life. They have a sense of their own independence.
Mm.
Because if you meet someone like that, that gives you an immediate sense that this person doesn't need me in order to fulfill them, in order to validate them, in order to make them happy. And that allows you, that's like how we talked about when you leave to talk to your friend, it gives someone a chance to observe you.
Yes.
Well, when someone's sitting in front of you and they show that they have this life that they love that has nothing to do with you, that also gives you a chance to observe them, because you feel like, oh, this person doesn't need me. And if they don't need me, I'm free to just experience them.
Yeah. It's so funny because as I hear you talking, I'm thinking about my own. Obviously, probably a lot of people that are listening to here, they're thinking about their own relationship or other moments in the past in other relationships. But when I was meeting Louis, we had the most amazing date, I didn't even consider it a date, right? Because he was like, hey, I'm here. It just felt this like casual thing. And I showed up in my flip-flops. I just didn't care. You know what I mean? I cared about meeting other people and getting to know. It was exciting for me. And obviously it was exciting for me to meet him. I just didn't care about presenting myself to... I didn't even think about it. Too curated or too with like makeup and doing my hair. I was like, hello. Hi. Nice to meet you. Blah, blah. And we connected spiritually very, very beautifully and talked about our past. And I felt like so comfortable. Then the next day, he's like, hey, so what are the chances? We both live in LA. Let's hang out. I'm flying today. When are you flying back? Let's go out. Blah, blah. And I said to him, I'm going to Chicago. And he was like, what are you doing in Chicago? I was like, oh, I'm going with this guy. And he goes, what? Right? And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm in the process of, you know, getting to know people. So I'm going with this guy. He's been a friend of mine for a while. And we're going here. And then I'm coming back. Then, oh, I can on Thursday because I have this thing. And he has said to me now, that was very attractive to him. I didn't know. This wasn't a game. It was just me living my life.
Yeah.
How important it is for women to be in that space and how attractive it is or not.
Well, I think, and that's, you weren't playing a game, and that's really important. That was actually your life.
It was happening to me, yeah.
And that's a big distinction. You have to actually own it. It has to actually be your life.
Okay.
You have to actually have something, instead of waiting to text back.
Yeah.
So that you seem like you have lots going on.
Yeah.
You actually have to have something better to do.
Than waiting for this phone call, right? Yeah.
Like that's... Always, it's a good rule in life. Always have something better to do than wait for a text.
Yeah.
And if I sometimes say to people, here's a good experiment. If someone gave you 12 hours right now, what would you do with it? Like where, if someone just gave you 12 hours outside of your normal day
and said,
said, here you go, here's 12 hours. Do you know what you would do with it? Do you know how you would fill it? Do you know what would be exciting for you to do? If you don't have a good answer to that question, then of course, when you meet someone, there's going to be a sense of waiting around for the next time they're available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you're suddenly waiting around for the next hit of someone else, now you're no longer existing as two whole people living their lives who happen to really like each other, you're now someone who's sort of latched onto someone else's life and is hoping for your next window of time within that life. So that independence is really important. The other thing that's really important in creating attraction is contrast. So having different qualities that when you see those two qualities in the same person, feel surprising because you don't normally find those two qualities in the same person. And I'll give you an example of this because I have people all the time come to me and say, why didn't I get the call back after the date?
Yeah.
I thought it went really well. And a lot of the time, it's not because you did something wrong. Like I had a woman, I have a club called the Love Life Club where every month I coach people. And in a much more exclusive group than I do on YouTube, there was a woman who in the Love Life Club said to me recently on one of our live calls, I, by a handful of guys now, have been told that they're not attracted to me or that they don't want to continue because I'm too optimistic.
Wow, that's interesting.
So you have to ask yourself, what's going on there? Because optimism is a... can be a pretty lovely quality, right?
Was she always optimistic?
Well, this usually, when I hear something like that, I don't hear you're optimistic and that's bad. I hear that you weren't enough of something else.
Oh.
So.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the things that can happen if our optimism becomes the only thing we are is we suddenly are the kind of person that is always giving advice. We're the kind of person that anytime someone comes to us with like, I'm having a tough day, instead of just empathizing with them and saying, oh, that sucks. You know, life is hard sometimes, isn't it? Instead of doing that, we go, well, you know, here's the way to look at that.
Here's this podcast. Here are these books.
Yeah. Mm. And that's annoying. If anyone's ever been around someone like that, and you can never be vulnerable with them without them just bombarding you with sunshine.
Yeah.
It can be actually really annoying.
I think I used to be that person.
I think it happens to a lot of people.
Yeah, I used to be that person.
A lot of people who get into self-development can fall into that trap because you're feeling very excited and high on everything you're learning. And then when someone comes to you and they tell you about something they're struggling with, instead of seeing a moment to connect, you see a moment to influence, a moment to impress, a moment to help. But that may not be what the moment calls for.
It's true.
You've seen the movie Inside Out?
Yes, of course.
My favorite moment in the whole movie is when Bing Bong, her imaginary friend, is really sad and he's crying his eyes out. And Joy, that part of her brain that represents all that is excitable and positive, optimistic and happy, goes over to Bing Bong and starts trying to tell him why it's all going to be fine. And Sadness, who so far has had a really kind of, she's not seemed like a good character in this movie.
She's making so far, she's so bad and useless. Dark and loomy.
Sadness goes over to Bing Bong and sits next to him.
I remember that.
And says, she talks to him and he says why he's sad. And she says, that must be really hard. And Bing Bong says, yeah, it is. And they have a moment. And then Bing Bong stops crying.
I love that movie.
And he gets up and he says, okay, we can go now.
Aww.
And you realize that in that moment, joy was not what was called for. Sadness was what was called for. He needed to connect. He didn't need advice.
Right.
And on a date, a very, very similar thing is taking place in all sorts of different ways. You might be the person who is used to being very intellectual. And you're very smart. You have a job that demands it and it's what you've gotten good at. And all of your trophies in life are to do with how smart you are and how accomplished you are. Well, when you go on that date, that's probably the weapon you're going to wield.
Because you feel more confident.
It's what you're used to. It's what you know. And you know you can, you know how to use that weapon. So you're going to talk about your achievements. You're going to talk about very intellectual subjects. You're going to talk about books. You're going to, now that's fine. All of those are wonderful things. But you're in danger, if you're not careful, of never creating the contrast that comes from showing something surprising to go with that. An attraction is created by contrast.
This is so good.
When you know someone's, when someone's intellectual and you go, well, that's cool. Wow, smart person. And then 10 minutes later or 5 minutes later, they say something super goofy.
It's great. You're like, it's funny.
Oh, wow.
Oh, look at this other side.
Oh, they're so silly.
Right, that's funny.
I didn't know they could be silly. That's funny. And when you realize they can be silly, everyone knows that feeling. Everyone knows the feeling when they found a guy super handsome and sexy, and then he did something silly
and
it like tugged on your heart. Like you felt it. You felt that feeling because you go, oh my God. And he's silly.
Yeah.
And he's got that side. You know? That's like a very, now you're like,
oh. Yes.
And you could see that in all sorts of different ways. If someone can have a very authentic, or let me change the word for that, because we should always be authentic. But if someone can have a very sincere, earnest conversation with you about something serious. And you go, wow, I can talk to them about deep things.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
My, you know, the last person I was with couldn't talk about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And you find it really attractive.
Mm-hmm.
If they continue to be that and only that, you might start to say, I feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
I kind of want to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Or you, but if you suddenly see them be playful, now you have, and I call these unique pairings. You have a unique pairing.
Mm.
And unique pairings take someone from being, one great quality will get our attention. A unique pairing will make someone irresistible. If you've been having funny conversations with someone, let's just flip it for a moment. Let's say they've been playful the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily see them as sexy. Mm. I don't necessarily see them as someone I'm attracted to, but I'm having fun.
Mm.
But then you come back from the bathroom and you sit down and they tell you, you look great tonight, by the way. I just actually got to see your outfit and you look beautiful. And then you go, oh, like that. I didn't know they could go
right,
there.
Right.
We were having fun and I was just, mm-hmm. that was playful. But now they told me I look beautiful. Now they told me I look great. Or they said something flirtatious.
Mm-hmm.
Now I realize they can be that too. Mm-hmm. And I would invite everybody to ask themselves, honestly, is there a weapon I am overusing? And is there a part of me that if I worked on it or brought it out more, could become a unique pairing with a trait that I already have that's very strong? Because once you have unique pairings, that's when people start saying to themselves, oh, this person's hard to replace.
That is fascinating. It's fascinating. Like when I, you know, when I met Lewis, obviously I had this beautiful, deep conversations that were great, but then we were playful in the pool. And then, you know, he has this thing of like wanting to get candy everywhere. He finds yeah. candy, right? Isn't it like so fun to see that he's on one end, this entrepreneur who's, you know, running this massive podcast and all yeah. that. And on the other end, he's like inside the closets trying to find this one piece of chocolate that he saw is stuck in between one book and the next one. And he's like, look what I found. I found this chocolate.
Lewis comes over and barely after he's hugged me, he just starts rummaging around the cupboards like a bear.
He's like, he is a bear. And he'll literally just go,
yeah, he'll be like, you got any...
he does that, yeah. And so then, it's funny because when we have conversations, he has told me too, he met me in, again, Tulum and living this life and going this and here and there. And then the next day I had a drumming class. And then the next day, like, I'm not picking up the phone because I'm recording my podcasts. And then I'm producing a movie. And then he sees me on set, like, you
know, like, who is this
directing
person?
A bunch of people. But at the same time at home, I cannot hang a frame on the wall, or I cannot reach that, you know, he's very tall. So I go, could you please help me reach in this glass? You know, and
you nailed it. That is a, when someone sees that, it's, you become this enigma.
That's funny. But we all have these enigmas in our lives. It's not.
But we don't all demonstrate them.
We don't.
We get addicted to the thing that gives us or once gave us the mm-hmm. most validation
mm-hmm.
or the easiest validation and feels safe to us. And we stick with that and we keep doubling down on that thing over and over again. And you see it all through life. You see the person who got validation or significance from being tough. And so tough is their identity, and they keep doing it because it's on some level it's working for them.
Yeah.
We're not stupid. The reason why we keep being one thing over and over again is because that thing has been reliable for us, but it also has become our mutation. Whatever we get validation for becomes our mutation if we're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
And our mutation becomes our weakness, because whatever we overuse ends up compensating for other things in our life. And this is a rule you can apply to anything. It's a very valuable kind of law of life. I have always had strong shoulders, but naturally I had a harder time building up my chest.
Okay.
Now, what that meant was...
Me too. I'm kidding. A very hard time building up my chest. No, continue.
Well, I remember being in the gym and trying to do bench press and my shoulders are giving me pain. Like right in here. And it wasn't because my shoulders were weak. My shoulders were actually the strongest part of me.
Okay.
But because they were the strongest part of me, they tried to do the lifting for everything. So if I was trying, whatever else I was trying to work, instead of that muscle working, my shoulders would do the work because that was the strongest part of me. Mm-hmm. So I came to rely on them for everything. And eventually what that meant was my shoulders started having problems because I used them too much. Mm-hmm. And now I have to fix these problems in my shoulders. So now I can't even build my shoulders anymore because they've been overused. That's true on any level in life. If you are someone who relies on your sexuality to attract people and you get used to attention from using your sexuality to attract people, you can very quickly fall into the trap of overly sexualizing yourself. And then I get the person who comes to me and says, Matt, people only want to sleep with me. They don't ever look at me for a serious relationship. Mm. And then I can look at that person's Instagram and say, but look.
This is like the
only thing that you're putting forward. I'm not saying that you can't be sexual. I'm just saying I'm not getting the sense that you're anything else right now.
So true.
And the same is true in all sorts of other ways. Whatever we come to rely on, some people rely on being very kind of witty and quick or sarcastic, and they come to over rely on that. But if you're not careful, if you're too much of that, someone ends up saying, I don't know if I can have a real conversation with you.
Where's the depth?
So our strongest muscle can actually become our weakness because we over rely on it, and you're only as strong as your weakest link. If in a relationship, that's true. In a job, that's true. Mm. In the gym, that's true. It's like a law of life. And we all should look at, you're right, I have these parts of me already, but which of the muscles I already have been underused because I've come to rely on this particular muscle for everything. Mm-hmm. Now, the scary part is that when we decide to start training, and if we're brave enough to say, I'm going to use another muscle, that muscle is one that we're not used to using. And so in the beginning, we're not going to feel like it's a powerful.
Yeah, it feels awkward, right?
It's awkward. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to calibrate it. We try flirting and we feel like we sound silly because we're not used to it. Maybe we overdo it. We just don't know.
Yeah.
That's the moment where we have to drop our ego and say, it's okay for me to fumble my way through this because I haven't been used to working this muscle. This is new to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm coaching people all the time in using muscles that they haven't used in a while. And in the beginning, they don't know how to use them. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's baby steps in new areas. But what's going to happen is if we do that, we're going to become much more attractive. And more importantly, our confidence is going to start to become much more stable because it no longer relies on one thing.
Mm-hmm. I love this.
We have confidence that comes from multiple areas.
Mm-hmm. I feel like what you're saying, what you're talking about is a key to stop chasing men. In a way you become more of yourself. It's not like you become a different person. You're actually like the example that you gave with all these different muscles. You become more yourself. You're not using only the shoulders, but you're also doing, you know, using the abs. Notice I didn't say the chest. No, but you're using all this different, right? And you become exactly that. And is that what makes it more attractive?
Yeah, because we're using, you're right, we have the muscles already.
Mm-hmm. We have them.
It's not like you're trying to, when people say to me, but I'm not sexy. I'm like, but really? Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure you've been turned on.
Oh, yeah.
So you have sexuality.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just are not, right now, you're just not comfortable bringing it out. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Maybe you haven't brought it out in a while. Maybe no one ever showed you how to bring it out.
Right.
It's there. It's a part of you. It's just about learning how to use it. And some of us have to learn how to use muscles that we haven't used in a long time, or maybe we've never used, but it doesn't mean they're not there.
Bueno. Pues ya llegamos al final de este episodio con Matthew Hussey. Y estuvo muy bonito porque aprendimos cómo establecer los cimientos de una relación, de un vínculo amoroso sano. Y si quieres seguir a Matthew Hussey, que te lo recomiendo muchísimo, puedes seguirlo en @TheMatthewHussey en todas las redes sociales. Y bueno, si quieres seguirme a mí, estoy en @MantaHigareda. Y muchísimas gracias por estar en este episodio. Si te gustó, danos tu like. Si nos estás escuchando en cualquier plataforma de podcast, por favor te pido que le des la parte donde dice follow. Y nos vemos en el siguiente episodio, que vamos a tener invitados muy especiales y contenido que nos va a ayudar a todos a crecer, a aprender a ser mejores personas. Los quiero. Nos vemos en el siguiente episodio. Bye.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.